You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
To go forth, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity this morning to be here in this place together, lifting up your name, Father, and feasting our eyes on how good you are, how worthy you are, how holy you are. Lord, we're in the right place. We're in the right place, Lord. Just take this time out of our lives, Lord, just to look at you and to say, Lord, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're the champion. You are the champion. And we just lay our lives down in front of you so that we can live for what you have, that we can walk out those works that you have prepared beforehand for us to step in, Lord. Because, Father, you are the glorious one. So, Lord, we're so thankful today, Lord, that you've made that way for us to come into your presence, Lord. And we take advantage of that right now. We just take advantage to stand in your courts and say, Lord, you are beautiful. Lord, you are amazing. Lord, you are true. There is nothing in you that is not true. And Lord, we just stake our lives on that, Father. So, Father, as we're closing worship here, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are speaking individually to our hearts. Lord, in those areas, Father, where we've come in, Lord, with whatever that we've carried in, Lord. And Lord, you speak to those places. You say, I am the risen one. I am the champion. I am the one who can turn all things around. And so, Father, we worship you in that way today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
During that song, the Lord gave me a picture of a geyser shooting up out of really dry and hard ground, and then it rained down in rainbow droplets. So I just believe that the Lord is bringing breakthrough this morning, and he's bringing a refreshing and a rejuvenation to hardened hearts and also to forgotten promises, that he wants to bring up those promises that he's given us that we've forgotten, that we've pushed down, that we feel like we're never going to come to pass. He's bringing those. He's bringing them up from the dry ground, and they're going to rain down on us as we come into his presence. So God, I just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing this morning. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for refreshing and rejuvenation to our hearts and to the promises that you've spoken to us. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Well, you guys can be seated and continue to let the Lord work that in your heart, especially if it's spoken straight to you this morning. But we just want to transition into time in the Word. And our pastors this morning are on a weekend getaway for their 26th anniversary. So they want to send their love to all of you, and we want to send our love to them as they're gone. And we have a great morning. My husband, Troy, gets to speak today from the Word, and then we're going to end the day with communion together as a family of God. So stick with us if you're joining us online, if you're here in the house. It's an exciting day. So before I call Troy up, I just want to take a minute to just bless and pray for our pastors as they're gone. And we are so amazingly blessed to have pastors, the pastors that we do, that the Lord's given us. And I'm just personally so grateful and thankful to have pastors who are continually seeking the Lord for our good. They've been seeking him for our protection, our health, our well-being in this time, and I'm just so blessed to be under that. I'm so blessed to have pastors that care to intercede and lift us up as a body. And also, I've just been thinking about the blessing that we have to have pastors who tenaciously go after God's perspective and are able to seek that and share that with us. And that's what they've been doing. They've been putting out a weekly email with an article on God's perspective in this time. It's full of scripture. And if you've missed those, if you're not on our email list, we'd be happy to send you those emails. And they're also printed out. I believe the last four are printed out in the foyer. If you haven't had a chance to read through those, you can take those with you and make sure you spend time reading those, because they're full promises from the Word and just a perspective of how to look at things in this moment and how to keep our focus where God wants our focus to be. And the same thing for the services that we've been having, as our pastors have been sharing on those, it's been incredibly full of things to chew on and let the Lord grow in our hearts in this season. So we've been meeting here at the church on Sunday mornings. Those have been online. We've also been meeting Tuesday nights online. And so if you've missed any of those, you can catch up on those and you can watch them again. And I just encourage you to do that so that you can get the full perspective of how the Lord's moving and what he's saying. So if you want to join together with me, I just want to extend our hands and just bless our pastors as they're gone. So I just invite you to do that. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Bill. We thank you for Pastor Mary Pat. Lord, we bless them this weekend as they are away. Father, we pray that you would surround them, Lord, that you would refresh them, Father, that you would strengthen them, Lord, for the onward journey ahead as they go forward, Father, for the sake of you and for your kingdom, Lord. Father, we just come together to surround them and just pray your blessing on them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, it's time for Troy. Woo.
Don't worry, I set my own alarm clock. Because we all know that I can talk for a while. One page is blank, so... It's just a look. It's a blank page, clean slate. Sometimes I go off of that one. But, it's just, as we were singing there and, that last song, Catch Me Up in Your Story. And I love that because the Lord's got a story. He's got a story, he's got a message, and he's got one that he's doing through each one of us, that he desires that we would be a part of that story, that we would be a part about bringing his story to pass. And it, again, it's for his glory, as the song says, but it's an amazing adventure. So how many people remember the last time I actually preached here? Not communion, but the last time I preached. Does anyone remember what I preached on? There's a few hands. Adventure awaits. Adventure awaits. That's right. I brought a sign that I have that I was given on my birthday. I think it was my 40th, if I recall, which was a few years ago. so long ago. I don't know. Just kidding. And so usually I have a prop. I have no props this morning. I have a blank paper here too as my prop. But I'm really excited about this morning just because this whole thing is God's wanting us to be a part of his story. And as Rachel was saying, we're very blessed in this house to have pastors who have been seeking the Lord in this crazy, unique time. I had no idea when I preached that back in November that we'd be having this pandemic stuff and whatever coming up and, going to Brazil and having this crazy, incredible trip and God moving and doing miracles and being a part of the send there and just all the different things that God's done since then. And now more recently, the pandemic, coronavirus thing, but just appreciating it. And Rachel and I were talking, and I know Rachel and Cynthia had been talking, and just about in this season, just the stability that I feel like Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat brought into this for us as a body and for our family members that are overseas. Hello to Pastor Rohit and Pastor Andrews from India. I hear that you guys are on, so wish we could have you here with us and to be with you as well. So bless you guys and all that you're doing to reach out. Was just thinking through that, and I was reading some things. Usually when I go to share, I typically just go in the Bible and just start reading until something really, I feel like God's highlighting in my heart. And this time, I was just being caught up in just worship and just thinking about the goodness of God and just his provision in this season, his ways that, we just can't describe. And I had the song that I was listening to, and it really hit my heart. Was the song called Extravagant. And it just says that he was a lover Whoops, that is not it. There's more than one thing. It's the Bethel version of extravagant, in case you're wondering. It says, she was a lover before time's beginning. You gave your love freely, withholding nothing. You carried the weight of the world on your shoulders. You stopped at nothing to prove you were for us. It's extravagant. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The way you love us, it's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you'd go to say you love us. You don't belittle our pain and our suffering, and you comfort us in our greatest unraveling. Jesus, my Jesus. And you are the dawn that is breaking within me, and you are the sun that is rising around me. Jesus, my Jesus. Just the power of that truth. It's extravagant. It doesn't make sense. We'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you'd go to say you love us. I mean, his death on the cross, his whole everything designed to bring us into relationship. And so as I was just meditating on his goodness and just thinking about that and just thinking about, you know, the place God has, you know, me in life, Rachel and I in life, and our family and our extended family and our spiritual family, and just what God's doing, I just, in awe, I just began to cry small, not big weeping sobs, but I began to tear up. There was no dust in the room. I was tearing up just thinking about how good God was. And, you know, it took me to a couple different scriptures and passages. And I know when I was sharing about the adventure that awaits, I was sharing about these situations we find ourselves in that God brings us into a story. I shared about being in India and traveling up a river and coming around the bend and this whole story. And we end up and they're playing volleyball in the middle of nowhere in India. And, you know, as I'm joining them in volleyball, you know, Pastor Bill starts worshiping with the guitar, and then we have a service after that, and all the volleyball people come, and the whole little village comes, and many come to know Jesus, and others get healed and touched and encouraged. It's and driving back from that, as we're driving through those roads, and you know, these semis, I think they're gonna hit us, and I just start to just be full of just feeling so blessed how good God is. I just didn't get hit by that semi, like. Wow, but I was just in a village playing volleyball, and then people got saved, and how did I get here? And it's not just the international mission stuff. It's here in Ohio. It's here in Stark County and Summit County for some of you, and wherever else you're from, Western Ohio, I think, welcome shocks. And, you know, it's it's just exciting that his goodness that he pours out for his kids, you know, all of this, he lets us be a part of his story. And this year has been an interesting year for us. We opened up a new clinic up in Green, a new location, and God's been blessing that. But as he was blessing that and I was preaching about adventure and waiting, I was taking out more loans, and I was not paying myself. And, you know, it's not exactly common knowledge, but, you know, in that season, what's that? Well, now it is, apparently. Sorry, your family. But there's a season where it's like, Lord, we're doing everything we can. I'm doing what I can. And you brought me here. You put me here. And, you know, and yes, you know, when we first bought the building and walked in and, you know, it's raining on the inside. There's pipes burst, water flowing. Literally the first time we walk in the building with it being ours. And yes, Isaac? And a big trench with a plank across it? Which one? Yes. So it was a lot of work. And, you know, and in this season of coronavirus, I've just seen the Lord just turn all that around, all that extra debt just getting paid off, all the, you know, things just filling up, God just blessing. And my point in that is not, wow, look what happened, but it's just the faithfulness of being with God. If we stick with him, if we keep him number one, and that's, you know, again, a thing that Rachel and I have had from the beginning of just, you know, we're holding hands, we're joined together. But we're facing out, let's see, how can we reach people? How can we love on people? How can we serve? How can we minister? And when we do that, he always takes care of our little circle, our little kingdom that's not ours. It's his. So whatever you're going through, whoever that's for, he's going to take care of you as you just go after him, pursue him in his kingdom. And, I mean, it's, and I'm talking, this is like crazy favor that even those people that don't necessarily, you know, believe in fully in, like, you know, God's blessing and favor exactly, where, you know, some of my managers told the new managers and said, don't worry, when it looks really bad, it always turns out good. Like, even when it looks horrible, like, it looks really bad and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die, this is horrible, the business or whatever is going to collapse, the whatever. My old manager said, don't worry about it, because every time something happens for Troy and he gets blessed and then something happens, and I'm like, I'm not saying that. They're saying that. They've been watching. I didn't even know they realized that. And they're telling the new managers as I was hiring them and saying, oh, just don't worry about it. When it looks bad, don't worry about it, because something will happen. Something crazy will happen and it'll take care of all of it. So just let it go. But again, that's the favor of the Lord. And I feel a lot of that comes out of things from over the years in the last few decades of just trying to be faithful, not always being faithful. Not always being perfect. Many of you know me well. I've apologized to at least 75% of you, I would say. At least 75% of you I've apologized to in my life over the last couple decades, and many of you many times. So, and many of you, and some of you, especially my wife, many, many times. But in that process, I just remember early in my faith of really stepping out in faith of just some different things that have stuck with me. One is the saying of fat, that you got to be fat. And Pastor Bill's talked about that, and there was another discipler in the Navigators that talked about that, about being faithful, available, and teachable. And, you know, it seems like it would be easy to be fat. I mean, you know, you just eat more calories, you gain more weight, you know, whatever. Like, it seems like it'd be easy, but it's actually being faithful, available, and teachable. It's inconvenient. It's annoying. It's, you know, humbling. It means saying, I'm wrong and, you know, someone else is right / the Lord is right, because really ultimately it's the Lord. But, you know, this whole principle of being faithful, available, and teachable is one that I feel like is part of the keys that we need to keep going back to and walking in humility and say, Lord, check my heart again. Am I faithful? Am I being available to you, Lord? Am I available to the call in my life? Am I available to what you're doing? Am I teachable? Am I adjustable? Or am I kind of hard to be teachable? Am I not easy? You know, and another set of messages that also just reflecting on that really hit me is Pastor Bill sharing about honor. And he shared about honor and alignment leads to favor. And again, that's not perfect honor, perfect alignment. It's not that we do it all perfectly, but when our heart is for him, then we're going to walk as people of honor. We're going to walk in alignment, and that releases incredible favor. And just briefly, you know, that honor is honoring those around us, honoring the Lord first, honoring the body, honoring our leaders, honoring each other, and just honoring whoever we meet. And then walking in alignment with God, where do you have me? What are you doing? Am I aligned with what your purposes are, what you're speaking to me? Am I aligned in the body? You know, and just that whole aspect of how we're called as a community. You know, we're a tribe, we're a group, we're one of the tribes of Israel, we're one of the groups, you know, that are going out, you know, as representing his kingdom, whether that's, again, here locally, or that's in India or Africa or wherever it is. And I was just reading in Hebrews 13:17, just about honor just a little bit. If you want to turn there, you can. But it just says, you know, this aspect of honor, you know, to honor to the Lord, but honor to those that we're with. It just says, obey those who rule over you or who lead you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And I was reading this verse, and I'm like, wow, that's, well, why is that unprofitable for me? Like, why is that, you know, walking in that honor, walking in obedience to the Lord and to the things he's calling through those who are leading, and because they're giving an account. They have to watch out for our souls. They have to give an account. And that as we're honoring, that we're releasing that with joy, without grief, and that would be unprofitable for us, that it's unprofitable in our spirit because it's unprofitable in our personal lives, but that just goes out into every area of life, into our jobs, our families, etc. I mean, there are so many of you, I've heard so many testimonies about God just doing breakthrough in your families. You're like, how did this happen? I mean, what in the world happened? I mean, you know, Justin comes from Norwalk and, you know, ends up in Mount Union, and his whole family is like practically coming this way. And, you know, just God moving in that family, Jordan and Carly and all that coming together, and just how God's brought each part from different places because it's just he's drawing people into his kingdom and what's happening, the vision here. I think some of these, I was just thinking about some of these principles of just thinking about the goodness of God bringing us in this season again of those letters that Rachel was mentioning that Pastor Bill and Pastor Raymond Pat have written, those different emails, letters of just calling us into coming into agreement with heaven in this season, not into agreement with fear, not into agreement with strife and violence and all that stuff, with all the things going from rioting to pandemics to, you know, the economy, everything. But first and foremost, Lord, I love you. First and foremost, Lord, you're in control. First and foremost, I lay myself before you. And just what he releases in that. And in Deuteronomy, I'm jumping around a little bit. How am I doing on time? All right. Chapter 30. I was just, you know, reflecting on some of these areas, and I think it was the verse of the day today or yesterday I was reading. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16, it says, "In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." And then he talks about if you don't do that, not quite so good, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear. So when our hearts turned away from the Lord, we're not hearing. We're not hearing, we're not listening. When our heart is from the Lord, we're not hearing the voice of the Lord. We're still hearing. We're hearing something. We got turned away. We heard something. We turned away. But when our heart is towards the Lord, we can hear from him and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go into and possess. He said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. And I was just thinking, again, it's a choosing. I choose to walk in honor. I choose to walk in alignment. I choose to be faithful. I choose to be available. I choose to be teachable. You know, there's this, you know, we make these choices. God gives us this choice. It's incredible, you know, that we get the opportunity to be a part of those choices. And then he says, you know, catch me up in your story. You know, we're calling out to him, and he's saying, come into my story. Run away with me. I want to dance with you. Run away with me. I've got adventures. Run away with me. You know, there's this calling. He's always calling us into that alignment. And it just ends verse 20. It says, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. But that you may love the Lord your God, you may obey his voice, and you may cling to him. Lord, I want to cling to you. Today, I want to cling to you through the madness around, through what people are saying and the fear around. I want to cling to you. I love you. I obey you. I want to cling to you. I'm not going to run in my own path, my own ways. I'm going to walk in honor and alignment with you, Lord. And, you know, for his glory. And it kind of took me into one last semi-related place in the book of Acts. And I was just meditating on this chapter and just this aspect of it's all about him, it's not about us. And in chapter 8 of Acts, it talks about Philip, the evangelist. And Philip, he goes out to Samaria, and multitudes get saved, and they're all getting healed, and all this stuff's going on. And, you know, the sorcerer even gets saved, apparently, appears to say that. And then, you know, Peter and John come, and the Holy Spirit's falling, and all this cool stuff's happening. Well, then Philip, you know, he's just kind of, you know, hanging out there. And it says the Lord, Where are we at? Verse 26, chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is desert. Philip, you're in the city. All these people are getting saved, thousands, the multitudes. They're getting healed. They're getting touched. Philip, you mighty man of God, go to the desert. Just go to the desert. Go be by yourself. Go to the desert. I'm sending you to the desert. Well, what lives in the desert? Not a whole lot. Cynthia, what lives over in Yuma? Cynthia used to live in Yuma. Lawrence, what lives in Yuma? I mean, not a whole lot. I mean, you sand. I mean, you got to watch out for the occasional trailer on the side of the road, things like that, maybe. But, you know, other than that, I mean, you know, just watch if you go running in Yuma. There might be a trailer on the side of the road. Some have learned that lesson. But, you know, I mean, sends them out into the desert. And again, I was thinking about this in terms of, wow, you know, like you're on this pinnacle and this all this amazing stuff's happening. And God says, go to the desert, go to the unfruitful place, go to the barren place, go where it's dry. And yet, you know, he's obedient. And he goes out to the desert. And as he's going, it says that there's this eunuch from Ethiopia who's this person in charge of Candace, the queen's treasury. And he said he was returning towards Ethiopia. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?'" Apparently, back in the day, they say that when they would read something, they would read it out loud. You know, I mean, even back in the Bible, like way back in the day, they thought that was kind of helpful. So kids, remember that? Reading out loud is good. Yes, it's good, Joseph. It's really good. Because people can overhear. And so he's reading out loud. Philip runs up. He's obedient to the Holy Spirit, doesn't know who this guy is. You know, he's a eunuch from Ethiopia. And, you know, overtakes it. Verse 30 says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And this is, I love this. The eunuch says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" How can I understand this unless someone guides me? Now, that's Holy Spirit, that's the Lord, that's the pastors and teachers and leaders and evangelists and all that kind of stuff. That's all of us, you know, helping people who are, they're asking, people are asking this question. God's stirring on people's hearts, and they're wanting someone to guide them and lead them. He says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And he just happened to be reading out of Isaiah where it says, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask of you, of whom does this prophet say of himself or of some other man?" Verse 35, it says, "And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." Just for the one in the desert, just one eunuch in the desert, Philip obeys the voice of the Lord, goes to the desert, goes to this chariot, which may not be a friendly thing. You know, this guy is powerful. He probably wasn't by himself. I mean, he's the head of the treasury for the queen of Ethiopia. He probably was not exactly by himself, so he just runs right up there and says, "Here I am. You know, do you know what you're reading?" So he preaches Jesus, and as he preaches that Jesus to him, the eunuch comes to a place of like, wow, I believe this is real. Can I be baptized? Is there any reason I can't be baptized? I can't take the next step in this. And Philip says, "Well, if you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Wow, exactly. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the revelation of that. And so he goes and he baptizes them. And now when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip, he was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So Philip baptized the guy, and just, he's gone. and he's found in Azotus, wherever that is. I think it's Ashdod, wherever that is. But, you know, verse 40 says, passing through, he preached in all the cities. He didn't say, oh, okay, I got the guy in the desert saved. I'm just going to chill. He just got taken away by the Spirit, found in another place, and he just keeps on doing what God's called him to do and just sharing that. And, you know, that eunuch is part of leading, you know, many in Ethiopia to the Lord, like generations and generations of people knowing Christ because Philip was faithful to go to the desert, to go to the dry place, to go to the barren place, to go where no one else was going at that time. He was obedient, and he met the one person, and that brought transformation to a whole country, to a whole region, and beyond that. It's still moving in Ethiopia because of what Philip, his obedience. And I just, again, bringing that back to as we're faithful, as we're available, as we're teachable, as we're walking in honor, as we're walking in alignment, you know, it just releases God's favor. It releases these opportunities where you find yourself in situations saying, I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. I couldn't have sorted this out. I couldn't have made this up. Like, how did this happen? And there's just so many of those in all of our lives. But this morning, I just feel that encouragement to just remind us fresh and new, you know, of his greatness, his goodness to us. In every way, in every aspect, and I don't know, you know, what we're all sorting through or where we're at, but even where it seems in some ways like we're hampered by the coronavirus and we can't get to India where we were going to go, we can't get to Africa at the moment, and you know, where it just seems like, well, that's, but where we're at in our jobs, the people around us, there's so many people hurting, and there's so many people that, you know, are struggling. And And also, I just, you know, a call back to, Lord, check my heart. Am I walking in honor in my relationships, in my friendships, in my spiritual relationships, in my family relationships? God, am I walking in your honor? Am I walking in your alignment? You know, check my heart. Search me. Know me. And that, I just think that's going to release this aspect of being profitable in every aspect of life, in our friendships, in our relationships, in bringing people into the kingdom. I believe just this last week that just while kids were playing at the house at the Jacques, that one of the neighbor kids came to the Lord just this last week. There were kids just outside playing around, and they had the chance to just share Jesus with them, and this young boy, right, young man, you know, just prayed with, I think it was Christy and Judah, and just said, yeah, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. So God is still doing this right now in the middle of all this. And people are curious and people are afraid. But we have the answer. We have Jesus. And so just as we kind of head in towards a time of communion now, I'm just going to call my wife up, who's going to lead us into a time of communion. I just want to pray over you. And then as we take communion, I believe that's what she's going to share is just going to tie this all together even more. To just release us into a new place as we continue to take that adventure in the Lord that's awaiting. Whoops, there's my alarm. See, I'm right on time. That's right. I'm going to turn it over. No more of my words. The timer is buzzed. But I was going to pray. So, Lord, as my wife leads this, Father, I just pray for each person here that you'd prepare their hearts right now. Prepare my heart right now. That I would go lower still, that I would walk in more humility, that my voice would, that I would listen to your voice, my ears would be open, that I would not turn away from you and hear other things and hear other voices, but Lord, I would repent and be in alignment with you, Father. Lord, that we would repent as a body in any way we've stepped out of alignment, in any way we've stepped out of honor. Lord, search our hearts. Search our hearts. Touch us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to celebrate your goodness and celebrate your life and just to take communion here in the next few minutes to remember again what you did for us, Jesus, and how that's transformed our lives and our relationships. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, the Lord is taking me to Ephesians 2 today as we think about communion. And we also ask the worship team to come back up in the next few minutes. And the song that Troy had on his heart, Extravagant Love. We just want to sing that out today as we go into communion. But if you look at Ephesians 2, it's talking all about God's extravagant love in bringing us together with him. It says, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." It's that extravagant love that's so far beyond what we can ask or imagine or deserve, but it's overflowing towards us, the exceeding riches of his grace, the extravagant love that he has brought us together with him. If you go down to the next paragraph in my Bible, starting with verse 11, it's talking about how Jesus has brought us together. And you know, he does that all the time, even in the account in Acts with Philip and the eunuch. He brought those two men together from separate places, you know, separate backgrounds, separate people groups, brought them together for the purpose of the gospel, that the gospel could be explained, the eunuch could receive Jesus and then share him in that area. And that's something that the Lord did. He brought people together, and he is one that brings us together. If you read verses 11, it says, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So we're just celebrating that as we go into communion, that we who once were far off, who had no hope and no God in the world, we've been brought near by his blood, and that he brings us together. If you go on and read the end of the chapter, it says that Christ is the cornerstone of this temple, that we as the body of Christ are being built on the foundation of the prophets, of what was done in the Old Testament. And then Jesus came, was the cornerstone, and is building this body together into a temple of the Lord. And so he has taken us from where we were far off, without God, without hope, you know, not connected, and he's brought us in, and he's brought us all together into the body of Christ, and he's building us up. We are being built up into a temple of the Lord with Jesus Christ as our rock, as our cornerstone. And he never changes. He never moves. He is never caught off guard, but he is strong. He is secure. And as we build our lives on him, and as we let him grow us up into that temple, being brought near by his blood, man, we're going to be able to share his love with the world. So we just want to take that into communion, and as we worship to close here, Father, we thank you for bringing us near by your blood, that when you died on the cross for us, Lord, you took away everything that was against us, Lord, and you paid for it with your blood. And Father, we have the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, yes, I believe that sacrifice was for me, and I take that gift that you've given me from the exceeding greatness of your riches of grace, Lord. I receive that for myself, and I live my life for you, Jesus. You are my Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, for bringing me near by your blood. And so, Father, as we take in communion together today, Lord, we remember, Father, that it's by your body and by your blood that you have brought us near, that you have brought us together, Lord, into this temple that's being built upon the foundation of you and your truth, Lord. So, Father, we just take the blood, we take the bread, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your extravagant love towards us that died on the cross
for us, Lord. Thank you for your extravagant love, Father, that bridges, Father, any gap. Thank you, Lord, for your extravagant love, Lord God, that forgives, Father, anything, Lord, that we have done that separates us from you, Father. And thank you for that extravagant love, Lord God, that we can hold on to, Lord, as we walk confidently into the future, Lord, knowing that you are our cornerstone and that you are immovable, Father God, that you are good all the time. So, Father, we just partake today, Lord God, and we praise you, Father.
You were a lover before time's beginning. You gave your love freely, withholding nothing, Jesus, my Jesus. You carry extravagant. It doesn't make sense. doesn't make sense, never comprehend the way you love.
He's so extravagant. It doesn't make sense, Lord, but you love us. It doesn't make sense, Lord, but you love us. You care about us. You have plans for us. That's your word of declaration over us. You've called us by name. You know our name. You've called us by name. Your thoughts for us are as the grains on the seashore, all the seashores in the world. Us. It's incomparable. Lord, remind us today. Fill our hearts today completely, overflowing. If in any way we've been walking away from you, Lord, today you're calling us home. I call you home. If in any way we've been running away from you, I call you home today. Call you home today. I call home our loved ones today. Any that are wandering, any that are lost, any that are confused, that have forgotten your goodness, or don't know it at all, Father, pour out your goodness, pour out your love. We call them home. We agree together. We call them home. We call our families home. We call our friends home. We call our co-workers home to you, Lord. Your extravagant love poured out into us, flowing from us to them. Thank you, Lord, that we would be an example, Lord, of your love, an example of your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in any area of weakness in our hearts right now, any place where we've been out of alignment, Lord, we repent and we say, bring us back in alignment. We come back in alignment with your word. We come back in alignment with your truth. Lord, we open up our hearts to you. No conditions, no reservations. Take us, Lord. Take us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just keep working in hearts here today. And from here, beyond here, Lord, and around the world, any who are watching, Lord, just work in our hearts. Touch us, Lord, that we would be quick to turn to you. We'd be quick to humble ourselves. We'd be quick to listen. That we would not turn our heads to any other voice, but your voice, Lord. We want to hear your voice. And Lord, I thank you that where your love is, all depression goes, all anxiety and fear goes. Lord, anything that's unprofitable goes when we're walking in honor. We're walking in your favor. We're walking in alignment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, I just thank you for each person here and each person watching or watching in the future, Lord. I just thank you. Blessing and favor, just come and fill. Come and fill. Thank you, Lord, for your glory falling on each one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. And as we sign out online here, just that we'd be back at 7 o'clock online for Fire and Wind, if anyone's free. And, of course, next weekend we'll be back here at the church. Yeah, Fire and Wind on Tuesday, if I didn't say that. Fire and Wind on Tuesday. Come back in. But we can sign out online and just continue to worship. If there's something in your heart that you just feel is just not settled and not released, and you want prayer, feel free to come up. You know, myself, Rachel, and others, you know, Cynthia Lawrence, you know, whoever, you know, if you want prayer, you know, we'd be glad to pray with you and just agree with heaven with you for you. Amen. Have a blessed week. I love you all very much. All right.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.